proper know-how.
That's not heavy metal music. Or the sound of a stray cat fight. It's your car's not-so-subtle way of saying, head to Napa for new brake pads and rotors and get up to a $50 rebate by mail. So don't confuse for anything other than new brakes and 50 bucks back by mail. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 5/31/17.
Staples knows that when the leave-behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
White House Communications Director Michael Dubkey stepping down after 3 months on the job. Reports are he has submitted a letter of resignation. Dubkey coming on board after former Trump transition spokesman Jason Miller was tapped to serve as Director of Communications but then bowed out before the president's inauguration. There's now a call to tear down 6 Confederate monuments in the state of Arizona. As we hear from Jason Campadonia.
The president of the East Valley NAACP says Arizona has a chance to follow some southern states like Louisiana that have recently torn down its Confederate memorials. Proy Tatum says Confederate soldiers fought to preserve slavery, so they shouldn't be remembered with a memorial on public land. At the time of the Civil War, Arizona was still a territory, but a small battle was fought here.
Golfer Tiger Woods denying that alcohol was to blame for his DUI arrest in Jupiter, Florida early yesterday. In a statement, Wood says it was a mix of prescription medications that caused him to have a reaction.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
California OSHA investigators are looking into what caused a 10-year-old boy to go flying off a just-opened water slide at the Wave Water Park in Dublin, California, about 40 minutes east of San Francisco.
I was standing there. He seemed to be shook, but seemed to be okay, came right up, and immediately went into the first aid room and was assessed by staff.
That's a manager at the water park. While the boy was not seriously injured, it was a dramatic video that captured the accident. That's now gone viral, and the Dublin assistant city manager, Linda Smith, says the Emerald Plunge cost $43 million to build, but now it's been closed until further notice, while officials continue their investigation. Military authorities continuing to investigate the death of 27-year-old Remington Peters, the U.S. Navy SEAL, killed during a New York Fleet Week event on Sunday. Peters' life and legacy were honored during Memorial Day ceremonies aboard the USS Intrepid in New York. His parachute failed to open during a display associated with Fleet Week earlier in the weekend. ISIS says it was behind a deadly car bombing outside an ice cream shop in Iraq. At least 10 people were killed, 40 others hurt in the blast in central Baghdad. The explosion happening overnight in the Iraqi capital just days after the start of Islam's holy month of Ramadan. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Time is 10:05. It's time for Hunt and Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 56 degrees, overcast skies. And it looks like we're going to have, that's 57 degrees, 30% chance of precipitation. Today is Tuesday. It's May 30th, 2017. Weather Underground says that today, cloudy, a slight chance of showers late this morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, highs in the mid-60s, southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, chance of rain is 50%. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms tonight. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy and patchy fog in the morning. Chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow as well. Mid-70s. Chance of rain 40%. Thursday the 1st. Mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Friday the 2nd. A return of what we've already been experiencing. Fog in the morning. Partly sunny in the morning. Chance of showers in the afternoon with thunderstorms. Upper 70s. Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of showers, mid-70s. And Sunday, partly sunny, 30% chance of showers, lower 70s. The temperatures around Hunterdon County, 57 in Raritan, 54 in Quakertown, 58 in Reddington, 55 in Tewksbury, 58 in Kingwood, 55 in Stockton, 55 in Easton. Stay tuned for Tech Today in just a moment. You're listening to that on HuntandChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Dan Howley tried it out. He joins us now to share his thoughts. How you doing, Dan?
Pretty good.
First of all, what is different with this new version of the Surface Pro? From what I understand, it's the first upgrade in 2 years, so we've been waiting for this.
Yeah, this is something that people have been kind of antsy about.
Well, good day and welcome to Tech Today on HuntChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that businesses and consumers seeking to solutions for personal business use can be better informed when making personal decisions and hiring individuals to carry out the technological decisions. Each week we'll talk about issues and topics about technology. Segments will include news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. Email me at goodmorning@huntchamber.com. Call me on the phone here at 908-237-0410 or visit me after hours, bluepantherbiz.com. Well, here we go, another edition of Tech Today, and we have tons of things to talk about. We'll start off with some more information about the laptop van, and it's been expanded. Now, normally I would talk with Diane Lane about this on Good Morning Hunterdon, but this affects many of us and need to make you aware of why and what's happening with it. So thousands of flights and hundreds of thousands of passengers will be affected every day if the United States extends its so-called laptop ban to all international flights. It's written by Alana Petrov on May 29th. It's at CNN Money. And it's entitled, Expanded Laptop Ban Could Cover Half a Million Travelers a Day. So for now, electronic devices larger than a cell phone are banned from the cabin on flights bound for the United States from 10 airports in the Middle East and Africa. But Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said Sunday he might expand that ban to all international flights entering or leaving the country. About 4,300 international flights take off and land in the United States each day, carrying 560,000 passengers, according to the International Air Transport Association and Industry Association for the World's Airlines. That works out to more than 200 million passengers a year. U.S. authorities have said the laptop ban on the 10 Middle Eastern and African airports was put in place because of intelligence suggesting terrorists could hide explosives in larger electronic devices. Kelly acknowledged the possible expansion in an interview on Fox News Sunday. Terrorists are obsessed with knocking down an airplane in flight, particularly a U.S. carrier, if it's full of mostly U.S. folks, he said in the interview. An expanded ban would threaten to damage both U.S. tourism and the world aviation industry. Foreign visitors spend $246 billion in the United States last year, supporting 8.6 million employees in the American tourism industry. Those jobs would be at risk if international travelers opted for other destinations because they didn't want the inconvenience of checking a laptop. Emirates, which was directly affected by the small electronics ban, said last month it was cutting some flights to the United States because of weak demand. Earlier this month, when reports circulated the U.S. would expand the ban to Europe, IATA called on the Trump administration to find alternatives. The responses of Canada, the EU, and Australia to the same intelligence demonstrate that a ban on large electronic devices in the cabin is not the only way forward, the association's CEO Alexandra Dejuniak said in a statement. Indeed, we believe that it is not sustainable for a long run. The U.S. Travel Association warned that authorities would have to be clear about why an expansion is necessary. If there is a legitimate terror threat, the flying public needs to take it seriously and adjust to the new protocols as best they can, said Jonathan Grella, an executive vice president of the organization. It is critical that the U.S. government clearly communicate the details of this new policy and the reasons why it's needed and continually reassess it to ensure it remains relevant and effective. I don't know, I could be wrong here, but it seems to me that we're being a little bit nearsighted if there's a credible threat, and the way to stem that threat is by not having people use large electronics on a cabin flight. If you're telling me that that's going to deter people from coming to the United States, I just don't see it. It might deter some, but I don't think it's deterrent is because of they can't use their laptop. I think the deterrent is because it's a heightened sense of security. It's a heightened sense of concern. If you're going to ban the laptops because of the concern, and then I get the sense that I don't want to be on that plane. So I don't think it's directly in the cause. But if you're telling me that people are not coming to the United States for tourism because they can't take their laptop, I'm going to say that's a bit petty. I think you can deal without your laptop for 10 hours. Take a nap. Read a book. Watch a movie. Talk to your kids. Do something like that. So I'm not sure I'm buying into the whole thing yet. But at the same time, Mr. Grella says that the United States should explain the rationale. And I agree with that. If there's true, credible information that says that there's going to be a heightened attempt by terrorists to attack a plane because of putting something in a laptop, I get it. But let's see the evidence on it first before we start jumping to conclusions. All right, you're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. We're going to be back with more in just a second, right after these messages.
But I swear, getting into Harvard is the thing my parents are most proud of me for. My mom is nodding. You all know what I'm talking about. Look, guys, it's tough to beat this. You'll see when you get out there.
The following ad is being condensed for your viewing convenience.
I'm finally switched to Geico.
Oh, yeah?
Ended up saving a ton of money on car insurance.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Tech Today. We're on HuntingChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. And, well, interesting. For as long as I've been doing this show and as long as I've been involved in technology, one of the things that have been a mantra of the phone market, the handheld device market, is that viruses and malware would not be seen on them. And they kept saying, they kept offering these virus scans and malware scan, spyware, anti-spyware software. And everybody kept saying, you're not going to have that on a phone. It's contained. It's self-contained. And I said, well, it's just a matter of time. Well, here we are. We have reached that time. This article by ZDNet says, Android alert, this cutesy malware has infected millions of devices. Auto-clicking Judy adware was distributed by over 40 apps in Google's official Android market. So the other thing that kept being told to us was, if you install through the Android market, or you do, or you install through the iTunes, you'll be okay because they are keeping track of the malware and making sure it doesn't get on there. The only way it would get on your phone is if you installed software from other places. Well, here we are. That's not the case. It actually came from Google Play, Play Store. So security researchers have discovered a large malware campaign in the Google Play Store. Dubbed Judy, because many of the malicious apps are games featuring a cutesy character of that name, the auto-clicking adware was found in 41 different apps created by a Korean mobile app developer whose products have been downloaded by up to 18 million Android users. Some of the apps have been available for many years and are regularly updated. Uncovered by a cybersecurity researchers at Checkpoint Software, the malware uses devices to generate fraudulent clicks to adverts, generating income for those behind the scheme. Malware was able to be discovered in several apps created by other developers on Google Play, some of which haven't been updated since April 2016. This suggests that malicious code was able to hide in the store undetected for over a year. The connection between the two campaigns is unknown, but it's possible one developer borrowed code from the other. It's unclear how long the malicious code has existed within the second group of apps, but they have been downloaded by up to 18 million users. This represents the latest entrance of malicious coding, sneaking malicious apps into the Play Store as part of Google's ongoing battle with Android malware. The Judy apps are able to bypass Google Play's bouncer protection system by using similar techniques to other forms of malware which have successfully infiltrated the Android store, such as False Guide and Skinner, because the malicious code is hidden from view. In this case, those behind Judy have created a benign bridgehead app which is seen in the App Store. However, once the app has been downloaded by a user, Judy secretly establishes a connection with a command and control server which replies with the malicious payload using JavaScript code, a user agent string, and URL controlled by the malware author. Following installation, the payload will secretly use the JavaScript code to locate and click on banners from the Google Ads, which would a malware author and will receive payments. While there is no estimate figure on how much revenue has been made, researchers say it's likely to be a large amount, especially as the malware is widespread. Many of the malicious apps are developed by a Korean firm named KiniWinnie, whose products in the Play Store are registered under the name NStudio Corp. They develop products for both Android and iOS, and their games focus on a character called Judy doing various jobs ranging from cooking to pet care. The researchers note that it's unusual to unearth the actors behind malicious apps, which is in this case are hijacking users' devices to generate fraudulent clicks. In addition to fraudulent activity, the apps display a number of adverts which only leave users with no option but to click on them. Some users have commented on this as suspicious in negative reviews. However, this app still enjoy high usage ratings. A reminder that review scores can't always be trusted, as apps can trick users into giving high scores. Checkpoint has informed Google about the adware, and the apps have now been removed from the store, although the millions who've already downloaded them are likely to remain unaware that they're affected due to the lack of any sort of recall facility for apps. While Google keeps the vast majority of its 14 billion Android users safe from malware, malicious apps still get through. KiniWinnie has posted a statement on its website which seems to refer to the games being removed from Google Play. Recently, our game apps have been blocked by Google Play and the service has been stopped, the company said. Google had not responded to a request for comment at the time of publication. So the adage continues. We keep putting in efforts to protect ourselves, and yet we still have people who are naysayers and who don't have the vision to understand that the danger still is out there. Even though it might be out there at the time, it does eventually evolve that way. And I go back to exactly this. A couple years ago, it was said that it was impossible for malware and viruses to be in the Android and iOS environment because, quote, the Android and iOS environments control and contain each app, and that they are being scrutinized by the stores themselves. And that is not the case. As always, the criminal is way ahead of the police. And so we catch up because we recognize it, but it's already happened. It's been going on for a year now. So back when I told people to put some type of virus protection or malware protection on your phones, everybody said it's not worth it. It's not necessary. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of battery life. And now, as it turns out, that's not the case. You have, in fact, potentially been infected, and you don't realize it. Same thing with this going back to the other one. Why, you know, people are all upset about having a laptop ban. Well, why are you upset about it when we're trying to be ahead of the curve, and yet the public sentiment is I'm upset and I need my laptop on the plane, but you'd rather put yourself, raise the risk of a tragedy because of your personal comfort. And that just seems silly to me. So let's be a little bit more prudent and be smart about what we're trying to do here. It's 10:27. You're listening to Good Morning Tech Today on HuntChamberRare.com. Let's see what else we have. Well, we talked about viruses. Well, hackers hide cyber attacks in social media posts. This is written by Shira Frenkel on May 28th. It comes from the New York Times. And it says that it only took one attempt from Russian hackers to make their way into the computer of a Pentagon official, but the attack didn't come through an email or a file buried within a seemingly innocent document. A link attached to a Twitter post put out by a robot account promised a family-friendly vacation for the summer. It was the kind of thing anyone might click on, according to the official hit by the attack, who was not authorized to speak publicly about it. That is exactly the problem, Pentagon officials and cybersecurity experts said. While corporations and government agencies around the world are training their staff to think twice before opening anything sent by email, hackers have already moved on to a new kind of attack, targeting social media accounts where people are more likely to be trusting. Pentagon officials are increasingly worried that state-backed hackers are using social media sites such as Twitter and Facebook to break into Defense Department computer networks. And the human error that causes people to click on a link sent to them in an email is exponentially greater on social media sites, the official said, because people are more likely to consider themselves among friends. Once one person is compromised, attacks can move quickly through the person's friend network, leading to what the officials described as a nightmare situation in which entire departments at the Pentagon could be targeted. And while officials know about the problem, training about how to stop an attack that comes from Twitter and Facebook remains limited. Another official who spoke on the New York Times on the condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to speak to reporters described the problem as teaching an entire department to be wary of anything that was sent to it, even if the message appeared to come from family or a friend. While last year's hacking of senior Democratic Party officials raised awareness of the damage caused if just a handful of employees click on the wrong emails, few people realize that a message on Twitter or Facebook could give an attacker similar access to their system, that their accounts can be spoofed or imitated as it appears that attackers are a trusted friend. Spear phishing, or the act of sending a malicious file or link through a seemingly innocuous message, is hardly new. In November of 2015, the State Department revealed that its employees had been spear phished through social media accounts. But Pentagon officials say the scale of the spear phishing attacks is unlike anything that had ever been seen before. A report in the Times magazine this month revealed that a Russian-led cyber attack tried to spear phish 10,000 Twitter accounts belonging to Defense Department employees using personal messages targeted at specific users. The Defense Department did not respond to a request for comment. In response to a Times reporter, Twitter sent a copy of the company's anti-spam rules, which said any account that violated its rules would be suspended. A spokesman for Facebook said the company was aware of the problem and was monitoring spear phishing on the platform. In a recent white paper published by Facebook, the company outlined the common hacking it was seeing. The company said it was using specialized notifications, detection systems, and user education to counteract spear phishing. Cybersecurity companies said spear phishing through social media was one of the fastest-growing methods of attack. It's something that you don't hear as much about, but the problem is pervasive, said Jay Kaplan, a former Defense Department cybersecurity expert and senior cyber analyst at the National Security Agency, who is now the chief executive of the cybersecurity company Synac. Social media gives a number of indicators to an attacker on a state-sponsored level that you couldn't get through email. Outside of simply using a spear phishing email to gain access to a network, attackers could also use an account to gather intelligence. By watching a group of soldiers posting online, attackers could watch location changes to discern troop movements or engage directly in conversations to try and ferret out military directions. Most people don't think twice when they are posting on social media. They don't think about people using the information against them maliciously, Mr. Kaplan said. They also don't assume people on the network might be attackers. According to a 2016 report by Verizon, roughly 30% of spear phishing emails are opened by their targets. But research published by the cybersecurity firm ZeroFox showed that 66% of spear phishing messages sent through social media sites were opened by their intended victims. In the Defense Department attack, for example, 7,000 employees took the first step through being compromised by clicking on a link, said Evan Blair, a co-founder of ZeroFox. The attacks are so much more successful because they use their personal timeline and the content you engage with to target the message to you, Mr. Blair said. Simply by looking at public posts, attackers can easily see if any account has mentioned a certain band or sports team often when tailor a message pointing to tickets going on sale for an event. On Facebook, an attacker can see which groups have been joined or which public pages have been liked. In an experiment last year, ZeroFox created an automated program that taught itself to send spear phishing links to Twitter users. Over 2 hours later, the program sent links to 819 people, at a rate of roughly 6.75 messages per minute. 275 users opened those links. Mr. Blair said that in a case of Defense Department, the links had carried the malware. Once people clicked on the link, they were infecting their computer networks. In many cases, the attackers targeted members of Defense Department employees, families who were less likely to be suspicious. Defense Department employee who told the Times that he had been part of the recent breach said he had been targeted through his wife's Twitter account. She was the one to click on a link to a vacation package after exchanging messages with friends over what they should do with their children over the summer. Once the hackers got into the computer, the official said they got to the computer through a shared home network. There you got it. Same old story. Just a different technique. Starts to cloak itself in a more personal message. You click on it. It's not even you. It's your daughter. It's your son. It's your wife. You bring your computer home, you put it on the network, and bam, you're caught. You're infected. How do you avoid this? Well, you need virus protection on all your computers. They all need to be up to date. Those of you who have very important computers, you need to be not on your home network. Many of the computers that I give to my employees, I give them their own mobile network. They give them a 4G LTE card or a SIM card or a mobile hotspot. So they're not getting on their home computers and not using their home Wi-Fi. Open DNSs, open Wi-Fi connections, same problem, same danger. So I want people to be on a protected network when they're mobile. But just being more aware, more educated, and less assuming. We continue to be surprised, and yet that's because we're gullible, I guess. It's 10:36. Going to do the news. We'll be right back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Words cannot measure the depth of their devotion or the totality of their courage.
President Trump speaking at Arlington National Cemetery on Monday, Memorial Day, praising those who've given their lives and sacrifice for America. Meanwhile, one of America's biggest foes was testing another ballistic missile. North Korea says that test was a success, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
The country's state-run media says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un observed the missile launch early Monday morning. The media outlet claimed the missile was testing a precision guidance rocket system that it says can make an ultra-precision strike. The short-range missile flew less than 300 miles before falling into the Sea of Japan.
Former Panama strongman Manuel Noriega has died at 83. A government official says he passed away yesterday as he recovered after surgery for a brain tumor. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who's chaired the House Oversight Committee, says he doesn't regret his decision to step down from Congress despite some interesting ongoing investigations and controversies.
I've always said that I was going to prioritize my family. When I remember talking to Jim Hansen, who served from the state for 22 years, and he said, you'll get to that point where you'll know. And I just felt like, hey, I knew there are other people that can serve in this capacity. There are other people that can do this. I still have another month ahead of me, and I plan to use all the vigor I have all the way through June 30th.
That's Chaffetz in an interview yesterday on Utah's Fox 13. He has not commented on reports that he's leaving Congress to take a job with Fox News. Golfer Tiger Woods says an unexpected reaction to prescription drugs was responsible for his DUI arrest. The 14-time major champ charged with it early yesterday in Jupiter, Florida. In a statement, he says he didn't realize the mix of medications had affected him so strongly. This is USA Radio News.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
An economic report out this morning showing Americans' incomes rose nearly a half percent last month, and we spent just about all of it. The figures for April released today by the Commerce Department showing personal income and spending both increasing by 0.4%, which was right on track with what analysts had predicted. 50 people are still hospitalized over a week after a terrorist bombing outside an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. And the UK's health ministry says 17 of those 50 people are in intensive care. The attack killed 22 others. The train station attached to the venue where the blast occurred just reopening today for the first time since that tragedy. From California, correspondent Jason Campidonia reports that a man's behind bars after a violent road rage incident on a San Diego freeway yesterday.
A man claims that he was cut off while driving down the 94, and the driver started to give him the old one-finger salute. The two exchanged pleasantries, and then the man says when he got off the freeway, the driver had followed him for the past 20 miles. The two jumped out of their cars and started to fight, and when cops arrived, they had to tase a driver who's being described as a robustly built man. The driver was eventually arrested, and the man survived the beating with only some small cuts and bruises.
And Washington Nationals baseball star Bryce Harper could face suspension for a bench-clearing brawl last night in San Francisco. Harper charging the mound and throwing punches with Giants reliever Hunter Strickland after Strickland hit him with a pitch. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Tech Today, and we are on HuntingChamberRadio.com's Voice of Business. Well, we talked about malware. We talked about being infected, and we talked about the cyber attacks. Well, sometimes the malicious software isn't actually there. Sometimes we actually invite it, and we don't realize how pervasive it really is. And I'm not even talking about being sidetracked or being hoodwinked or confused I'm just saying that we want an app or we want a program so bad and we don't bother reading the fine print. We learn that, in fact, we agreed to the whole thing. So on the fastcompany.com, an article here that says, here's how to track the smartphone apps that are tracking you. Two academic groups have built tools to police what apps do with your location and other personal data. Written by Glenn Fleischman, says that when it comes to websites, we have ever more sophisticated techniques at our disposal to block the ads that sometimes track our wanderings around the internet. But most of us spend much of our time these days in mobile apps that offer no transparency on how we're being tracked or sold, nor tools for blocking that behavior. We must rely on operating system makers, primarily Apple and Google, to promulgate guidelines to developers on legitimate practices when it comes to tracking behavior, asking for personal information, and transferring data to remote servers. Operating system makers are also responsible for enforcing those requirements. The rules in place are very broad, and except for abuses that can be quickly checked by in-house reviewers, some come into play most often when users and researchers report violations. Apple's rules, for instance, require that apps must obtain someone's permission before transmitting personal data and have to describe how and where the data will be used. Apple doesn't police these rules by performing network communication interceptions or demanding an audit remote databases. Company declined an interview for this story. Quote, when applications ask for permissions, that is not really done in a manageable way, says Franziska Rosner, an assistant professor in computer science and engineering at the University of Washington, who researches computer security and privacy. iOS doesn't know necessarily whether it's reasonable for an application to use your location, and that's why they ask the user, she says. Apple has to rely on a developer's disclosure as to what's being done with that location data. Some of the Rosner's work tries to match up an app's purpose and interface elements with the kind of permissions being asked to make sure a request isn't misused. Actually, I'm going to stop right there for a second. That happens often. You'll say you want an app. You'll download an app. And usually, right when you are installing the app will ask you for all these different permissions. And very few of us actually do any critical thinking about what is being asked in terms of data. or permissions on our phone compared to what we were expecting that app to use. We're still enamored with what the software or the app is going to do for us, and so we just casually click OK and let it go. And I have seen it in the past where in the near future, an app has been redeveloped and asks for less permissions. Either that's because the developer was ignorant or the developer got caught. I don't know which one, but I have seen it where apps, where perhaps users of the apps have actually criticized the app developer and said, what do you need my location for? What do you need my Facebook page for? You're just doing this. And so I don't know if by chance the developer happened to be copying something and just had those included, or the developer got girded into changing what they were collecting. And so all of a sudden you'll get a different device, a different upgrade date that's asking for less permissions. Many developers embed functionality in the form of third-party analytics packages and add technology code, which may associate seemingly innocuous user details with information collected from other resources. Thus, even if the data sent from an app seems benign in isolation, it might uniquely identify a user or be used for purposes that developer is unaware of. Developers typically haven't audited this code and couldn't tell you in detail what it does. That's the other thing that's really interesting about this time in our life. We have a lot of developers and a lot of products to develop apps where we have less sophisticated developers. And a lot of them don't put in the time or the thought process into what they're actually developing. They're into actually developing the actual code, but they don't realize that they might be being talked into or copying things from other developers that they're not going to pay attention to because it might be too complicated, too sophisticated, or they simply have a bartering going on between them and another developer. So you have to realize that a lot of these things are not developed in singularity. Sometimes they're actually being copied from one developer to another. And as the sophistication and complexity of our developers are being reduced because the developing platforms allow for less sophisticated developers to evolve, turns out that they might be allowing code in that they really didn't intend. A recent case study was the app Meitu, made by a firm of the same name, which applies anime-like styling to people's facial photos. The first app was available in China for years, but an English-language version went viral. When security researchers examined the software's innards, they found that it was laden with analytics and ad packages, only some of which were linked to working code, and that it asked for extensive permissions in Android and iOS. Case in point, they made copies of stuff and they left it in there. Or they had what we call stubs, stuff for future development that you just left in there that they might use in the future. Meitu told me at the time of the kerfuffle that it included certain geolocations app checking code to comply with advertising network requirements in China, where jailbroken devices can be used to defraud advertisers, and advertisers may demand that their messages be geofenced to appear only in certain regions. Apple confirmed that the app was and remains in compliance. In the U.S., the Federal Trade Commission can't intervene on behalf of the consumers unless there's a suspicion that a company has either broken a law regarding information privacy, including COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule, or with a company that has a representative about its does and lied. The FTC's site has a page on its lawsuits and results on data privacy, including ones related to apps. So what's a user to do? Academics are on it. Two complementary efforts, which are in the process of cooperating further, will turn more control over to those with mobile devices to monitor app connections, helping to expose bad actors and poorly designed private data security transfers, and allow scrubbing private information or blocking it altogether from being sent. So the team led by Northwestern University's Dave Chaffins, an assistant professor of the College of Computer Information Science, developed RECON, R-E-C-O-N, sort of virtual private network for personally identifiable data, PII in the field's jargon. Unlike a regular VPN, which protects data in a secure tunnel between a user's device and a data center or corporate server, to prevent snoopers, RECON also uses the VPN connection to act as a scanning proxy to examine all the data passing between your smartphone and the rest of the internet. It works by installing a network profile in iOS or Android, just like regular VPN services. RECON can fully examine the contents of the unencrypted connections, which would also be in the clear for anyone on a public Wi-Fi network or other points of network interception where the VPN isn't in use. Chaffins and his colleagues found some surprising practices. For instance, he says Grubhub unintentionally sent user passwords to Crashlytics, a Google-owned firm that helps developers pinpoint code failures. When informed, Grubhub revised its code and had Crashlytics delete all associated data with contained passwords. For group extracts data from app communications and tries to determine the parts of it are PII. This is both harder and easier than it might sound. Most data is sent in a structured way, using an API and often in the standard JSON format, which groups data into a label, the key, and its associated value. But the team also applies machine learning, allowing it to identify PII more broadly, even when it appears without using any standard structure format or shows up in surprising places. The RECON project publishes some data derived from a few hundred early users listing apps, the kind of data they passed, a severity score, whether a developer was notified, and when misbehavior was fixed, if indeed it was. For those who have installed the app, RECON has a web-based console that allows users to block or modify information that is sent. For instance, a user can block all examples of given kind of PII or block all location data sent from a given app. However, because some apps fail without location coordinates, the team is looking into coercing GPS information instead of blocking it entirely. An app's back end still gets relevant information, but other parties aren't able to pin down where you are in a few meters. Of course, examining a flow of data from users itself raises massive privacy red flags and is part of the evolution of RECON. Its creators don't ask for passwords, try to avoid storing the value sent, and check only to see whether, say, a password is obviously being passed without encryption. The group ultimately wants to perform distributed machine learning without users disclosing private or secret information such as domains they're visiting. The Haystack Project, a collaboration in the International Computer Science Institute at the University of California, Berkeley, among multiple academic institutions, starts with an Android app that captures data right at the source. It's not yet available for iOS. Like RECON, Haystack's Lumen Privacy Monitor app acts like a VPN, but it shunts data internally, rather than sending it off to the device for analysis. Because it's a user control, the app can be given permission to intercept HTTPS connections and analyze everything sent between apps and servers. RECON, sitting outside the device, and the network can't. Although it can identify a connection when at a particular destination, the rough payload size, and the frequency of communication. Narsen Molina Rodriguez, a researcher of ICSI, says that the fact that Lumen doesn't send data off the device means that its developers have to be more careful about bogging down a smartphone without processing tasks. At the moment, the tool measures and reports what apps are doing, though it could offer blocking controls in the future. The app reports back fully anonymized pieces of information, allowing researchers to understand the kind of personal information that's being attracted and transmitted. We're seeing tons of things like some applications linking the MAC address of the Wi-Fi access point as a proxy for location, says Valina Rodriguez. A base station's MAC address identifies it uniquely and is used by Wi-Fi location databases run by Apple, Google, and other firms. While certain kinds of personal data requires an app to trigger Android to ask for user permissions, we have found applications and third-party services that are somehow using inside channels without user awareness. He notes that an Android file that contains a variety of system information details like buffer size may also have unique network identifiers, including an IP address, and that's being sent without user consent. Fortunately, the two projects have both a friendly competition and plans for collaboration. The efforts will likely remain separate, but incorporate aspects on associate data to get a bigger picture about app behavior. After the Recon team would like to develop software for a network appliance, a Raspberry Pi that would act as a sniffer or proxy or firmware for a network router to let someone see the interactions across all network devices, especially Internet of Things equipment, which will all sorts of privacy and security issues on their own. Both Recon and Lumen are working and obtaining other funding to improve the projects and make them viable for large-scale consumer rollout. There you have it. Two opportunities to change what's going on. Well, it seems like we've already finished our day today. So our mission on Tech Today is to take away the mystery. Hopefully we've done that for you today. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission. And we'll be back again next Tuesday. Stay tuned for Some Things About Money in just a bit. You're listening to Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Come join us for the 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park, and Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HunterdonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please